ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam. I am Team Reddy Sai's Bishu. We are in this month of April 2020. And this month always brings memories which are not so pleasant, especially if you were in Prashant Nilayam during this period in 2011. And when I think about Bhagwan, the only word that comes to me is sacrifice, because everything of Bhagwan was just a saga of sacrifice. Right from the time the timeless one decided to cage himself in a physical frame, bind himself with flesh and blood and bones, right from then on, every moment of the Lord was just a moment of giving himself. Every moment was just a moment of letting himself be used by humanity. And that is what we have seen of Bhagwan. Never ever thought about his pain, never ever thought about his discomfort, never ever thought about his inconvenience, never ever had any issue that even in Puttaparthi, where they say there are only the three seasons of hot, hotter and hottest, there was no AC in the interview room. And we know in the interview room sometimes there could be 100 people packed, and it was just such a small room, probably just 6 feet by 6 feet or 8 feet, I mean, that is all it was. But Swami never wanted not only air conditioning in the interview room, it was never there in his residence. Look at any facet of Bhagwan, Swami's clothes were simple, and Swami, during the birthdays, during the festival occasions, he would walk and walk and walk and give Padmaskaram to every devotee who used to come, and that is how it was for so many years. Every devotee would get personally Padmaskaram and a prasadam, a Vibhuti packet, and that continued for so many years. If you look at the story of Treyi Vrindavan, which incidentally was inaugurated by Bhagwan in this month of April in 1986, the Rajamata wanted to install very expensive, luxurious gadgets for Bhagwan in his restroom, in his washroom. Swami said, no, why do I need this? Why do you want a gold pipe? Why do you want such an expensive tap? Will the water be different? It's the same water, right? How does it matter if it's a golden pipe or just a normal steel or plastic pipe? Swami never wanted anything fancy. Swami said, it is the devotee's money. And I don't need. That was what Swami's life always was. People who have served him at close quarters can tell any number of instances of how for him, when he said ceiling on desires, he lived that to the T. When he said don't waste food, don't waste energy, don't waste money, he lived that to show us how we can practice them. And Bhagwan, that is why I said my life is my message. And walking on this path of sacrifice, walking on this path of selflessness, walking on this path of unconditional love, we have seen so many devotees earning tremendous grace from Bhagwan. When Swami said my life is my message, there were so many devotees who really made Bhagwan's life their message. And in this series, Beacons of Prashant Nilayam, we have been trying to share with you these stories, stories of such souls who sacrifice their everything for their love for the Lord, for whom Swami was always first, for whom service was always first, for whom selflessness was the mantra of their life, for whom faith in Swami was so strong that nothing could ever shake. And the grace that they experienced because of this faith, this dedication, was phenomenal. I've been sharing with you the story of Mr. Prasad Rao. Prasad, Mr. KBR Prasad, and his story is one of how one can silently serve the Lord in a manner that the Lord thinks about you, that the Lord is concerned about you. You are so silent and so sincere that the Lord is after you. You don't have to go after God. The Lord is waiting to serve you. The Lord is waiting to take care of you. I have shared in earlier 5 episodes how Dr. KBR Prasad came to Bhagwan. He was born on June 1st, 1958 in a little village in Krishna district, and then how with a lot of difficulty he had his education, how he moved to work with the government in the overseas communication department of the government, and then how he went on to clear the examination for Union Public Service Commission, and how he had the opportunity to work in the Defense Electronics and Research Lab as a junior scientific officer, and later on as a senior scientific officer. He was in Delhi, he was in Hyderabad, and then how he joined the Indian Institute of Science, the premier institution of research of India, in Bengaluru as an aerospace engineer in 1970, and how in 1975 he had his first darshan of Bhagwan in Vrindavan, and how he was so captivated by Bhagwan's discourses, how the whole idea of service that Swami you told in the discourse, and he started reading in the Sanatana Sarathi in Telugu, captured his heart so much that he felt, this is really the in thing, this is what I want in my life. Swami said, we are born to serve and we can earn bliss only when we serve. And then he made that a part of his life. That became the guiding principle of everything he did. And slowly how he joined the Sevadal in Vrindavan. I told you about the opportunities that he had in the year 1975 to work in the redoing of the green room in the Poonachandra Auditorium, and how he had some amazing experiences there, first time in Prashant Nilayam, and how that strengthened his faith and Swami. And we talked about how during his days of being the Vrindavan Sevadal member, he had so many opportunities to do service, and slowly he became the convener of the Vrindavan Sevadal group, and how at that time itself he was so taken in by Bhagwan that every Thursdays, every Sundays he used to spend time in the Vrindavan ashram, and for him service became everything. And how slowly he got more and more involved in serving in Vrindavan as well as coming to Prashanthi Nilayam and not missing a chance to be of some service to Bhagwan. And how Swami himself once asked for him, and Swami said that he is the man to look after the PA system. How Swami was grooming him to look after the public address system, and how he was the chosen one by Bhagwan to look after the system, the audio systems in all functions in Prashanthi Nilayam. He was the one who always placed the mic in front of Bhagwan before he started his discourse, and that is a duty that he did with so much dedication and love for all these years, 30, 40 years. Even now he continues to be in Prashanthi Nilayam and continues to serve in the ashram, and nobody would know about him because he's as silent as the stars in the sky, but they keep silently shining, and that is how Dr. Prasad is. I told you how Swami sent him to the US to get trained to look after the space theater, and told you the story of how the space theater came into being and how he was the director of the planetarium in Prashanthi Nilayam. And I also shared with you so many stories of how during this chance of serving Bhagwan and looking after the PA system, how there were opportunities he got, and instances where Swami came to his rescue in miraculous ways. Instances where he has forgotten to connect the mic, but everything goes on fine. The discourse is on, and at the end of it, Swami says, "Don't worry. Your love for the Lord is so much. Your love will take care of everything." And that is how this love took care of everything of Prasad, Mr. Prasad, and that is what has kept him going for so many years. In 1997, his eldest son, Narayan Murthy, went to the US on some project work. And there, unfortunately, he met with an accident. And it was a very terrible accident, fatal accident. And he was admitted in a hospital there in the US. And everyone was concerned whether Murthy, his son, will survive, because he was in the hospital and he was unconscious. And now everyone in the family, his wife, Dr. Prasad's wife, and everyone in the family was telling, "Go and tell Swami, your son is dying. You have to go and get Vibhuti, you have to go and get Swami's blessings." But Dr. Prasad, his faith in Swami is so rock solid. He said, "Swami knows everything. There is no need to tell Bhagwan." You see, every day you are going there, every day you are sitting right in front and setting up the mics. Why can't you tell Swami? He said, "No, Swami knows everything." And everyone at home were really upset with him, you know, because you are so adamant. And this is a life and death situation for your son. You don't want to go and tell Swami about it. So the mother, Mr. Dr. Prasad's wife, could not control herself, and so she told her youngest son, Ramakrishna, who was working, and he continues to work in the Central Trust, to go and tell Swami. And so Ramakrishna went and told Swami about this accident, and Swami said, I know, I will take care of him. Don't worry, Swami said. And Swami gave Prasadam to Ramakrishna. Swami gave Vibhuti. And so Ramakrishna got Vibhuti Prasadam from Bhagwan. And Dr. Prasad gave that Vibhuti to the driver of the Puttaparthi Bangalore bus. And he phoned up the father-in-law of his elder son who was in Bangalore to collect the packet and send it to the US. And now the father-in-law of his son was occupied with some work, so he sent some person to the bus to pick it up. And so this person went to the driver and said, "Has Prasad come?" And the driver said, "No." And so there's a phone call from the father-in-law saying that the packet did not reach. And Dr. Prasad said, no, it cannot be. We gave the packet. We gave the vibhuti that Swami had given. And suddenly something struck him and he said, "You know what, the bus will return. The bus will return from Vrindavan. You go and ask the driver for vibhuti packet. If you go and ask for Prasad, he is thinking of a person. You are asking, has Prasad come? So he is thinking, has Prasad, Dr. Prasad come? You ask for vibhuti prasadam. Ask for vibhuti and he will give you." And that now, when the father-in-law now personally went to the bus stand and he told the driver, "Do you have the vibhuti prasadam?" And then the driver gave. And so interestingly, a little earlier, the colleague of Murthy, the colleague of Dr. Prasad's son who was in the hospital. So this colleague who was in Bangalore, he came to the house and said, "I'm going to the US. Do you need anything to send to Murthy?" And he said, yes. We have to send this Vibhuti Prasadam. But it is still to be received because his father-in-law has yet to be collected. But he said, "I'm going to the airport." He said, "Okay, don't worry. We will somehow try and bring it to the airport." And that's how his father-in-law rushed to the airport, handed over the Vibhuti packet. And by Swami's grace, the Vibhuti went to the US. It reached Dr. Prasad's daughter-in-law. And the daughter-in-law took it to the hospital. For 3 days, there was absolutely no sign of life in Murthy's body, and the doctors didn't know what to do because he was just unconscious and no one was allowed to go into the room and see, not even his wife. No one had been allowed for the last 3 days. The doctors had made many attempts to somehow bring him back to consciousness, but it had all failed. And finally, on the third day, the doctors allowed Murthy's wife to go and see her husband. The doctor said, "Okay, if you want to go, you can go and just see and come back." This was the first time that the doctors were allowing her to see her husband. And it was the day when the Vibhuti also arrived. See how Bhagavan connects the dots. And the doctors had lost all hope. So they just thought that, we should allow the wife now at least to see her husband once before they sort of close the case and saying nothing can be done. And the wife goes and she takes that Vibhuti and she puts it in the mouth of her husband and sprinkles the remaining Vibhuti on his body, and she just comes out crying because the body was lifeless. And the doctors console her and say, "If you want, you can come again tomorrow. Tomorrow is the last day." And the daughter-in-law did not know what to say because it was such a poignant moment. She never thought her life would turn so topsy-turvy in just 3 days. And so she just kept praying, and the next day she went to the hospital at the name. This was the last time that she would be seeing her husband. And as she went to the hospital, the doctors came to her and said, "What did you do in the room yesterday?" And she said, "No, I didn't do anything." The doctors said, she said, "What happened? Did I do something wrong? What is the matter?" And the doctor said, "No, we're just asking you because, something has happened. We don't know how, but your husband has regained consciousness. He has regained consciousness, but we don't know how." And he was talking something which we could not understand. When we came back to consciousness, he was just saying something And, you know, he was singing something. We recorded it. Fortunately, we recorded it. But we don't know what he was saying. We don't know what he was singing. And say, can you hear and tell what was he saying? Because he came back to consciousness very briefly. And when he came back, he said all these things. So they played the tape. And when the daughter-in-law heard the tape, she said, with tears streaming down her cheeks, she said, He is singing a bhajan. He is singing the glory of God. It was a Sai bhajan. It was a bhajan which Swami used to sing. Go, Govinda Hare, Gopala Hare, He Gopi Gopa Bala. Govinda Hare, Gopal Hare, He Murali Gana Lola. Govinda Hare, Gopal Hare, He Radha Hridaya Lola. Govinda Hare, Gopal Hare, He Nanda Gopa Bala. The son had sung a bhajan that Swami used to sing. And the daughter said, the daughter-in-law said, it is Swami's bhajan. And doctor said, we don't know what, but we have no idea how it has happened. It is just amazing. But he has come back. And it has been simply a miracle. And the doctor said, we asked him, what is he doing? Whom is he talking to? And what is he doing? Where he was? And he said, Puttaparthi, Puttaparthi. That is the only word he was uttering. And we don't know what is this Puttaparthi. And that is when the daughter-in-law said, Puttaparthi is the place of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. My husband felt the divine presence of my Baba. And that is how, even though Dr. Prasad did not have to say anything to Swami, did not go to Swami, Swami was there looking after. And he has done it so many times. In fact, after his discharge from the hospital in the US, Murthy, his son, came to India and he came to Prashant Nilayam. He went for darshan. He was on a wheelchair then. He was still recovering. And Swami went to the darshan lines and noticing the son, Swami came to Dr. Prasad and said, hey Prasad, what news? And Dr. Prasad didn't say anything. Swami said, your son is all right. He's in the wheelchair. He's all right. Don't worry. I will take care. I'm taking care. So that is how Dr. Prasad, who has always, with unflinching faith, loved Swami, has experienced the reward of that faith, has experienced how if you think about Bhagwan as your everything, how Swami looks after your everything. You don't have to go and tell Swami anything. He knows every second of your life what is going on, and He will do the needful, and He continues to do the needful. It's a question of how strong is your faith. It's a question of how steady is your devotion. It's a question of how complete is your surrender. And there are so many such instances in the life of Dr. Prasad. There's a very beautiful bhajan we all sing, which says that, O Lord, my life is in your hands. Every step of the way, it is you who takes care of it. I am in this ocean of worldly existence, and I am drifting. We don't know what is going to happen to us when life and death, everything is in your hands. Lord, it is you who has to protect me. It is you who can take me to the shore. We are in this ocean of birth and destruction. You are the only one who can take us to the shore of protection, of grace, of benediction. All these relationships that we have, Swami, that is all illusion. Your benediction is the only permanent position that we seek. Please, Swami, take care of us. That's how a very beautiful bhajan goes. And whenever we sing that bhajan, if we can pour ourselves into the bhava of this bhajan, we can see how this bhajan will elevate us. These moments, like Dr. Prasad experienced, these stories of the Lord, if they go on in our mind, if they go on in our consciousness, even as we sing these bhajans, we will not only sanctify ourselves, we will not only solidify our faith, we will also experience the ecstasy of connecting to Swami.
मेरा जीवन तेरे हवाले प्रभु इसे पग पग तू ही संभाले मेरा जीवन तेरे हवाले प्रभु इसे पग पग तू ही संभाले पग पग तू ही संभाले से हो पग पग तू ही संभाले पग पग तू ही संभाले से हो पग पग तू ही संभाले जीवन तेरे हवाले प्रभु इसे पग पग तू ही संभाले
बंधन तो
मेरा जीवन तेरे हवाले प्रभु इसे पग पग तो ही संभाले पग पग तू ही संभाले देवो पग पग तू ही संभाले मेरा जीवन तेरे हवाले प्रभु इसे पग पग तू ही संभाले पग पग तो ही संभाले मेरा जीवन तेरे हवाले प्रभु इसे पग पग तो ही संभाले.
And that is how it has been for Dr. Prasad. Once he had that faith in Bhagwan, I have shared with you before how he just left his job in one of the premier institutions of the country and everyone around told him, you are mad, how could you do this? Even Swami made fun of him, saying this person is a mad fellow. See how he has left his job and he has come, and at that point in time, the university had not even started. The Prashantiyam campus was not there. He didn't know where he's going to work, but he just left the job and he came here. And I told you how Swami took care of every little detail of his family, education of his three children. If you have that kind of surrender, if you have that kind of faith, if you have that kind of commitment to Bhagwan, then one can rest assured that he will look after, and he will look after to every minute detail. You don't have to tell him. It is just that you become part of Swami's being. He knows everything, what is happening in your life. In the year 2000, when the Akhanda Bhajan was going on in Prashanti Nilayam, so generally during Akhanda Bhajan, Dr. Prasad would be there setting up the mics as he does every day, and we know that the bhajan would go on through the night, but the mics would be put off after 8 in the evening. And so once the mics are put off, then Dr. Prasad would go to his home to just have his dinner, and then would come back and he would still keep participating in the bhajan, because we never know when Swami might come. And he is someone, I don't think there was ever any occasion where he was needed and he was not there. He was all the time there, because he has to be there half an hour, 45 minutes before Swami comes, because he has to be ready to start the music before Bhagwan's comfort darshan, and he's the last person to leave because after everything is done, they wind up the mic systems and everything, and only then he will leave. That is how his schedule was for all through 30, 40 years of living with Swami. And so, during the Akhanda Bhajan in the year 2000, his father-in-law, Mr. Brahmanandam, was also in Prashantanalayam, and is a very elderly man, and he did not go to the mandir for bhajans. The father-in-law was in his home, in the staff quarters. And after the mics were put off in the mandir at 8 PM, so Dr. Prasad came home just to have his dinner. And every day, Dr. Prasad would record the bhajans that are sung in the Prashanti Mandir. In fact, he was the one who has a lot of wealth of audio recordings of Bhagwan, which he has kindly shared with Radio Sai. So he took a cassette of bhajans and he went and he played that in the tape recorder at his home. So he pressed the play button and then he was having his dinner. And he was listening to the bhajans as he was having his dinner. And after some time, one of the relatives, who was also in Prashantanilayam, came to his home. And as Dr. Prasad was having dinner, this relative went inside and he... and she wanted to talk to the elderly father-in-law. And when she went inside to talk to Mr. Brahmanandam, she found that Brahmanandam is not responding. So she tried to call him, but somehow the body of Mr. Brahmanandam was still. And so she got very petrified and she came out and she said, "What has happened? Why is he not responding?" And Dr. Prasad went inside and everyone then went and saw that even as bhajans were going on, as Dr. Prasad put the bhajans and as he was listening and Mr. Brahmanandam, his father-in-law, as he was listening, in that moment of communion with Bhagwan, in that moment of thinking about Bhagwan, listening to his bhajans, he has quietly merged at his lotus feet. It was a huge shock for everyone in the family and they didn't know what to do because it was the birthday time and a lot of functions in the year 2000. So, you had the 75th birthday of Bhagwan and Dr. Prasad also was very occupied with a lot of mandir work. But the cremation ceremony happened on the banks of Chitravati and the final rites had to be done. The final ceremony was to be held on November 21st, generally the 13th day of the passing of anyone. And Dr. Prasad was very busy from the 18th till 23rd November, Swami's birthday, because of very tightly packed mandir schedule, and this was such an important occasion. But in the family, everyone said, you know, you have to do the rites every day. There are a lot of ceremonies to be done and you cannot not do this. And Dr. Prasad said, "See, please excuse me. Swami's work is important and I just cannot come and participate in any of these rites. All of you, please do whatever has to be done, but just leave me out." But the family was hugely disappointed. And Dr. Prasad did not know how to balance both now. So finally, as a compromise, he said, "Okay, November 21st, that is the only day there is no program. So I will be little free that day. So that day, if you want, I will do the Narayan Seva." And that happens to be the last day of the rites. It was that day I will participate. But all the other days, please don't ask me to get involved because I am extremely tied up with mandir work and that work is priority one for me, no matter what happens. And this is what he had told everyone in the house and everyone was unhappy, but they didn't know what to do. And they were thinking how to go along with doing the rites, and they get this message from Swami. Swami sends through someone the message. According to the family tradition of Prasad, the final rites fall only on November 21st. Let him do the Narayan Seva on that day and not earlier. Swami had sent a message. This is what Dr. Prasad wanted to do, because that is the only day when he is free, and he told, I can spare myself that day to do any final rites that you want. And now they get a message from Bhagwan confirming that. No one went and told Swami anything. He didn't go, knowing Dr. Prasad, he would never go and tell Swami anything about himself or anything about what is happening in the family. He would never do it. And here Swami on his own, and this is the time when birthday celebrations, 100 million things are happening in Prashanthalam. Such a big celebration is happening, 75th birthday, but someone comes and gives a message to Dr. Prasad saying, Swami wants that you should participate in the final rites only on November 21st. Do the Narayan Seva that day. And everyone in the family were amazed. How did Swami know? How did Swami have idea of what we were discussing? And how did Swami find time to think about us when there are so many things happening in Prashanthalam? Who are we? And Swami told Dr. Prasad, you do it on November 21st, that is enough. But there is another problem, because this was birthday celebrations. So Narayan Seva was being done every day in the ashram. Free food was being served to all the devotees and pilgrims from 18th onwards. So when that is already going on, then how can you do a separately a Narayan Seva? That was one concern, because everyone thought already Swami is doing it. So what do we do? Actually, taking that excuse, Dr. Prasad said, see, anyway, Swami is doing it, so there is no need for us to do anything. And the family was even more annoyed. They said, well, how can you do this? We have to do this ceremony. And then Swami, knowing Dr. Prasad's thought process and knowing what the family is thinking, Swami called one day Dr. Prasad during this birthday period and said, hey, Prasad, what news? And Dr. Prasad didn't say anything. Swami said, see, your father-in-law does not have any male child. So if you do not do any final rites to him, all your people will be very unhappy. They will be very pained. So you do the Narayan Seva on November 21st. Okay? Again, Dr. Prasad had not told Swami anything on his own. Swami comes on his own and says, do this for the sake of the family, otherwise they will be very disappointed. And see how Swami has timed it. He's timed it exactly. The father-in-law passes away during Akhanda Bhajan, and the 13th day falls on November 21st, and that is the only day Dr. Prasad is free. And Swami sends a message, you do it for the sake of the family. I know for you nothing else matters except Swami's work, but this is Swami's command, you do that. And that is how Dr. Prasad does that ceremony and again stuns everyone with his faith, with his commitment and with his dedication to Swami. If you talk to Dr. Prasad and you ask him to talk about Bhagwan, if you ask him to talk about Swami's love, he would just actually evade. He's not someone who really likes to talk much, always loves to be in the background. But if he condescends to speak and if he sits with you and he starts talking about his moment with Swami, few minutes into this conversation and there would be tears in his eyes, because he always feels that who will take care of you like this? And who am I? How much he has loved me, how much He has taken care of me. Pag pag sambhale. Every step He has looked after me. And even now, Dr. Prasad, perhaps he is in his 80s now, continues to come to Prashanthinilayam, come to the mandir, looks after the PA system. The same untiring self, same enthusiasm to serve and being a pillar of inspiration for everyone. I was talking to Dr. Sainath, who was blessed to be a student in Bhagwan's University. He was a student of Dr. Prasad and later on had the opportunity to join the Department of Physics. So he was also a colleague of Dr. Prasad. And Dr. Sainath had the opportunity to serve Bhagwan at very close quarters for close to a decade. And when I asked him about his reminiscences of working with Dr. Prasad, this is what Dr. Sainath had to say.
Dr. KBR Prasad was first introduced into my life by Swami when I joined the Satya Sai University as a student of BSc. Prasad sir came to us for teaching physics, especially electronics related subjects, and the one thing I remember Prasad sir at that time was for his fiery temper. He used to be very soft spoken in the sense that he would rarely speak. He would never speak much, but when he did speak, he used to choose his words very, very carefully. Like there was no doubts about what he was trying to tell you. Most importantly, he had such a wealth of knowledge with him that those few words that he used to utter in the classrooms and in the laboratory used to always convey a wealth of information and knowledge to us students. His laboratory classes were something of a treat to all of us, primarily because of the stupendous practical knowledge that he possessed. You know, some of the tricks and some of the techniques that he taught us, you would unlikely find it in any of the textbooks of electronics, and he was that good at it. He had an issue in the sense that he would not communicate much. He was not much of a speaker. And one principle of Swami that he regularly followed was Adhika Prasangam. He would never ever indulge in gossip, discussions or any of these types. In fact, you know, sometimes we would have been guilty of, you know, stopping our work and discussing a few things here and there about things. Prasad sir would just come, maybe stay for a couple of minutes more out of politeness, I would think, and then just mutter Sai Ram and just go away. That's it. In my 23 years that I knew him, you know, I never really ever saw him indulge in any sort of gossip or discussion that was not related to Swami. If we start talking about Swami, on the other hand, you know, I had seen occasions when he would get so overwhelmed out of his love for Swami that he would get tears coming out of his eyes. And he would just chant, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. And here was a person whom we knew Swami actually had given him some very brilliant and very illuminating experiences. Some things about which he would never talk. He somehow would hesitate a lot to talk about the experiences he had with Swami, believing more that, you know, they were for a personal consumption and for himself. He somehow felt very shy sharing about those experiences. You know, it has after much prodding, pushing, cajoling and other things, you know, that sometimes he would narrate to us some of these wonderful experiences that he had with Swami. So he was a very simple person at heart. You know, for a person such of such gigantic knowledge that he had, that stupendous ability, you know, to be focused that he had, he was such a simple person. There was lots to learn about Niradambaram from him. The Niradambaram which Swami expected from any of his devotees, Prasad sir used to always express that. Very mild spoken in the sense that hardly would utter any words. And those few words he uttered had a profound meaning behind them. But if you ask me what is one thing what I remember, an incident with Swami about Prasad sir, I still recollect. Prasad sir used to come to Poonchandra Auditorium regularly to fix the mics for various programs. And, you know, he would silently come, silently take care of his work, silently leave. He would never try to be intrusive in the sense that, you know, trying to make himself obvious when Swami would come to the stage. He would always remain in the background. One gentleman whom you would never ever see trying to come to the forefront, he was very happy being in the background and silently doing his seva. So he would actually be there, and one day Swami came to the backside of Purnachandra Auditorium when Prasad sir and Venkatramanaya sir and others were arranging the mics for that evening's program, and they just stood to the side and they did their pranam, and Swami just saw them, blessed them, and he came back inside, and then he called me. So Swami asked me, Prasad eppudu vachadu? So I said, Swami, half an hour, 45 minutes, mundate vachar Swami. He arrived just about half an hour to 45 minutes back. And then Swami had a very beautiful smile on his lip and he said, evening program undi kada, mics pettadaniki vachukuntadu, he said. That means evening program is there, so he must have come here to check and fix the mics for the evening's program. And then he went silent for some time and he said, chala samatsarala kinda na daggariki vachadu. Many years back he came to me. You know, chala sincere worker. Telusuna? Do you know, he is a very sincere worker. Assala adambaralu undavu. He has absolutely no pomp and show about him. You know, vastadu, tana pane edo tanu chesukuntadu, vellipothadu. Eppudu adigina sairam sairam antu untadu. Tanto nenu ekku matladanu, kani tanu swam ante chala prema. Means I don't talk to him much, but he has enormous love for Swami. And you know, he is kind of a sadhaka who Swami likes. Alanti vallante Swami ki chala preeti. I like those kind of people because they please me a lot. This is what Swami had to say about Prasad sir. And in retrospect, I see that many times we actually used to wonder, those people, you know, who are the silent workers, who always are in the background, rarely get a chance to come to the forefront and be physically near to Swami. But here was Swami who observes everything. And to that extent, actually, he even asked, I remember once when Akhanda Bhajans were going on, Swami came out late in the night. Prasad sir was still sitting near the mics. Swami came and asked, Bonjesnava? And Prasad sir said, no Swami, Upavasamu. Swami just smiled at him, patted him and went off. I think one of the rare occasions when I saw Swami talk to him. Otherwise, most of the time, Swami was not very open with him. Prasad sir also used to be very happy being in the background. But here on this day I heard that those also serve who serve silently. That was how I remember Prasad sir. A silent worker, a silent sadhaka, but whom Swami had a tremendous love and regard for. Jai Sairam.
So that was Dr. Sainath, someone who had the opportunity to work with Dr. Prasad and also the chance to listen about Dr. Prasad from Bhagwan himself. And what better certificate, what better reward can anyone think of? Swami himself saying, very sincere worker, and he has no adambara, he has no ostentation about him. He loves to be silent and he loves to do his work sincerely. And this is the kind of people that I like. I like such devotees, Swami said. And we have seen Dr. Prasad. He would squeeze himself into that little corner in the bhajan hall, because bhajan hall, everybody has not much space to sit. So many people would want to sit inside the bhajan hall, and Dr. Prasad was a tall person with long legs, but he would just squeeze himself, even though he was such a tall person, but he would be almost inconspicuous. That is how he was. That is how he loved to do Swami's work, very silently. And as Dr. Sainath said, during Akhanda Bhajan, Swami comes and Swami asks him, did you have food? And he says, no Swami, I didn't. He said, no Swami, I am fasting. And Swami lovingly patted him and Swami went. And one of those rare occasions when Swami actually spoke to him, as Dr. Sainath was saying, but these are the people, they don't have to speak. Swami comes after them and speaks to them. Swami's eyes are always on them. Swami's concern is always on them, their families, their welfare. and they don't ever have to tell Swami anything, because Swami is all the time concerned about you. A mother would always be concerned about that child who will not say anything to the mother. Even if a child is going through a pain, the mother knows that this one will never tell me anything. So I have to be very careful. I have to ensure that everything in his life is going in order. I have to be very vigilant, because even if he is going through hell, this child of mine will not tell me anything. But he will continue to do whatever he is supposed to do. And he will continue to love me, he will continue to serve me, he will continue to see that I am not put into any inconvenience. Obviously, such a child will be the dearest to the mother and will have the mother's attention all the time. And that is how it is with Dr. Prasad. That is how it is with so many beautiful souls that have had the opportunity to receive the grace of Bhagwan, to serve Bhagwan, to bask in his love because of their unflinching faith and their phenomenal concentration and focus on Bhagwan. So dear listeners, the last six episodes I have shared with you whatever I could gather about Dr. KBR Prasad. I will share with you more stories about him if Bhagwan sends more such inspiring tales to me. Otherwise, we'll move to another beautiful soul in the coming episode of Beacons of Prashanthi Nilayam. There are any number of such beautiful stories all around in Prashanthi Nilayam. You just have to look around and you will find such amazing sagas of selflessness, sacrifice and deep love. And that is what we should be moving towards. And I hope this series helps us to instill these precious qualities which will take us closer to God, so that one day we feel his presence in every second of our lives, in every pore of our being. Thank you so much for being with me through this beautiful satsang. If you have any queries, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Offering my salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet for this yet another opportunity to share his story and glory. Thank you so much. Sairam.